المسلمين بقوله قول الحق. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت، أو كما قال. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق النار ولو بشق ثمرة. صدق الله العظيم وصدق الرسول النبي الكريم. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. فرسٹ اینڈ فار موسٹ وی ول لائک ٹو بی گریٹفل ٹو اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ ہو ہیز گیون اس دی ابیلٹی، دی ٹائم، دی اسٹرینتھ، دی ایفرٹ ٹو بی ان دی مسجد. آؤٹ آف آل پلیسز وی کڈ ہیو چوز ٹو بی ڈوئنگ اینی تھنگ ایٹ دس پرٹیکولر ٹائم، بٹ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ گفٹڈ اس، گرانٹڈ دس اپرچونیٹی ٹو کم ان دی مسجد اینڈ ٹو ورشپ ہم، ٹو لسن ٹو دی سرمن بینگ ڈیلیورڈ، اینڈ ان شاء اللہ ٹو ٹیک بیک بینیفٹس فرام دس گیدرنگ. So first of all, we have to be grateful to Allah. Nextly, I would like to take pardon and I would like to ask forgiveness. We obviously came a bit late and we are running not according to schedule, but inshallah Allah may take things easy. So the chosen topic today I want to shed some light on was the topic of taqwa. This being the masjid taqwa, so I chose the topic to talk about taqwa. What is taqwa? Different types of taqwa and the benefits of acquiring and bringing this practice in our lives. Now, what does taqwa mean? Taqwa means a veil. In the Arabic dictionary, if you look up the word taqwa, it comes from the word wiqa or wiqaya, which means a veil to bring something in front of you and between you and what you fear. So it's a veil, it's an obstruction, it's a separation between you and something else. Now in Islam, taqwa means in the Kathir rights that obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refraining and staying away from what He has prohibited you, what He has refrained you from. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says worship Him, then we follow that command and we worship Him. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stay away from the bad deeds, then we stay away from bad deeds. This is what taqwa is initially. And Allama Bayzawi makes mention, he says there are three types of taqwa. One taqwa is the freedom and saving yourself from the fire of hell by saying La ilaha illallah, testifying there is none worthy of worship except Allah. And the Quran mentions wa azdamahum kalimat al-taqwa. He says number two, second type of taqwa is staying away from all the bad deeds. So first taqwa is staying away from hell by declaring the oneness of Allah. The second taqwa is to stay away from all the bad deeds and to act upon all those commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you. So this is stage two. And stage three, which is the highest level of taqwa, is which is obviously the recommended taqwa, the taqwa that we all aim for, is that taqwa that we just focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our lives start with Allah and they end on Allah. We start our day with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance and we end our day likewise with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the level 3 and the stage that everyone should be aiming for. And this is the state, this is the taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised in His book of praise and His book Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Now likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adopt the practice of taqwa. What will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify your actions, He will forgive your sins. Ibn Kathir writes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you ability to do good deeds all the time and He will keep you away from bad deeds. And also He will forgive your previous sins. And that's not all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your future sins in the sense that He will not give you the opportunity to do sin. He will not make sin easy for you like it is easy for some people. And also if a person by chance would commit a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this individual the ability, the opportunity to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hence his sins being forgiven. Now moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibn Abbas makes a narration that man aksara al-istighfar ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli hammin farja wa min kulli dhaykin makhraja wa razaqahu min haythu la yahtasib. The Ibn Abbas says, the Messenger of Allah has said, whoever increases his istighfar, whoever increases his repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by just saying the word astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Narrated in Bukhari, the Messenger of Allah would say astaghfirullah 100 times a day.
The Messenger was sinless and yet he used to repent. This is a lesson for us. We are sinful people. We are in need more of repentance than sinless people. So we should be repenting more than 100 times a day by saying Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Anyhow, Ibn Abbas mentioned whoever increases this practice of istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds solutions for this person from problems, and also he opens pathways for this person. If a person has a lot of problems in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him solutions both in this world and in the hereafter, inshallah. And also he will open up pathways for him in this world and in the hereafter. And the biggest part, وَرَضَكَهُ مِنْ حَيْسُ لَا يَتَسِرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this person provisions from places he wouldn't have thought of. A companion came into the company of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he exclaimed his concern that someone has stolen or someone has forcefully taken his luggage and his wealth. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, have patience and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, have patience and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa akthir qawla la ilaha illallah, and also increase the dhikr la ilaha illa, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This companion, before he reached home, he found out that the luggage, the wealth that had been taken away from him was at home, and in some narrations it says that he got more than what he lost. So this is the benefit of taqwa. Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, فَإِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Whosoever has patience, whosoever has taqwa, this is indeed big practices in the religion Islam. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَإِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. A person who adopts taqwa, the practice of taqwa, adopts the practice of patience, inshallah the enemy cannot harm him. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. He doesn't have to worry about the opposition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken guarantee that he will safeguard him. Likewise, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala special assistance, help and mercy is on those individuals who carry out the practice of taqwa. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this person solution to problems, will give this person provisions from places he wouldn't have thought of. Likewise, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam read this very verse, and he said to Abu Dhar that لَوْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كُلُّهُمْ أَخَذُوا بِهَذِي الْآيَةَ لَكَفَتْهُمْ. That if every single person and all of humanity was to hold on to this ayat, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that if you fear Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up ways for you, then inshallah this would have sufficed them, this would have been enough for them, they wouldn't have to do any other thing in Islam. So this ayat is a very powerful ayat. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from those people who acquire the action of taqwa, who carry out this practice of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he will forgive our sins, inshallah, to rectify our actions. And also, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Those people that will be kept away from the fire of hell are those people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have the carry out the practice of taqwa. Now, this one point I'd like to make before I finish the first part of the sermon is that taqwa does not necessarily mean fear. When we open translation, it says fear. Now, fear is an incomplete translation, and like I'm mentioning, Ibn Kathir, a big scholar, said taqwa means that we obey the commands of Allah and that we refrain and stay away from what He has stopped us from. This is what taqwa is in true meaning. That's why translations to one extent are good, obviously, but we shouldn't indulge in them too much. The main is the Quranic text, the Arabic text. The Messenger said, whoever reads one letter, he didn't say whoever reads, can everyone please move forward also, please? Can everyone please fill in the gap so the people from behind can also fill. So the Messenger said, whoever reads one letter, inshallah, there's 10 rewards and more. So there's multiple rewards. And likewise, the Arabic language in itself has a lot of power, a lot of, you know, there's sweetness in this language, and this language is blessed. The hadith of Bayhaqi and Shu'b al-Iman says, حِبُّ الْعَرَبْ لِسَلَامِ. The Messenger has said that love the Arabs for three reasons. فَإِنِّي عَرَبِيٌ وَلِسَانُ كَلَامِ الْقُرْآنَ عَرَبِي وَلِسَانُ أَحْلِ الْجَنَّةِ عَرَبِي. So love the Arabs for three reasons. Number one, I am Arabian. Number two, the language of the Quran is Arabian. And number three, the language of the people of paradise will be Arabian. So if we come, we should try to learn this beautiful language. and we should try to read the Quran as much as possible in the Arabic language, because this is the language it is revealed in, and this is the language it has been transmitted down to us for so many centuries. And just one last thing before I finish the sermon. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, he said a dua. He said, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wa-al-afafa wa-al-ghina, rawahu al-Muslim. Oh Allah, I ask you for guidance, I ask you for taqwa, I ask you for cleanliness, wal-afaf, to stay away from all the wrong actions, and wal-ghina, I ask you for satisfaction, contentment of the heart. Al-ghina, ليس الغناء عن كثرة العرض ولكن الغناء من النفس. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has said that true wealth is not the wealth of money and the excess of wealth and property, but true wealth is the wealth of the heart. If a person is rich from his heart, then nothing can obviously trouble him. If a person is rich from outside, but he's not rich from the heart, there's no satisfaction, he's always thinking about making more money, more money, more money, then this person never reaches his aim. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله ربي صلى الله
أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we were mentioning their virtues and we went into a bit of detail of taqwa. Now another very important aspect of Islam I want to just briefly shed light upon was an ilm, knowledge in Islam. Allah SWT says in the Quran, وَقُرْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Allah SWT tells the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, make this dua, ask knowledge from me. Now the scholars write, nowhere in the whole Quran has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Messenger to keep asking one certain thing from him and to keep increasing him in one certain aspect. The scholars write, this is enough to show the virtues, how important and how intense this aspect is, the aspect of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rabbi zidni ilma, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep asking for knowledge. Say, O Allah, grant me more knowledge, grant me more knowledge, and grant me more knowledge. Likewise, knowledge is very important, and there's no age limit for knowledge, whether we're young or whether we're old. There's room for improvement for everyone. Masih alayhi salatu wasalam said, Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman, sahalallahu tariqan al-jannah, rawahu at-Tirmidhi. That whosoever goes out to learn the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless whether it's from home or whether he goes to different places, different people, Allah, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, whoever tries to learn the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the path of Jannah easy for him. Likewise, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, مَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمَ كَانَ كَفَّارَةً لِمَنْ مَضَى. Whosoever learns knowledge, this knowledge will be a means of expiation, a means of erasing his past and previous sins. This was the virtues of knowledge, the virtues of a knowledgeable person, an alim, a person who has ilm in him. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, فَضْلُ الْعَالِمْ عَنِ الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِي عَلَىٰ أَبْنَاكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ كَفَضْلِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَمَرْ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدَرْ عَلَىٰ سَائِلِ الْقَوَاكِبْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, the difference, the superiority of an alim upon a normal God worshipper is the difference between me, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon you. We know how elevated the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in comparison to others. The same level is given to the alim in comparison to the normal God worshipping people. Or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in another narration that it is like that glowing moon on the 14th night when it's shining the most, and that is like an alim compared to the rest of the stars in the galaxies. So this is the superiority of an alim. And also the importance of sunnah. The hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention, كان جبرائيل ينزل فيعلمه السنة كما يعلمه القرآن. Jibreel used to descend, he used to teach the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the sunnah the same way in how he would teach him the Quran.
So the same importance that is given to the Quran, the same importance which must be given to the Hadith and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah (sallallahu alaihi wasallam). A very short story. Some people say we were with Imran bin Hussein and he asked him, "Hadithna an Kitabillah," telling about the Book of Allah (subhanahu wa ta'ala) and only the Book of Allah. He got really angry. He said, "You are asking about the Book of Allah (subhanahu wa ta'ala)?" He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about salah in his Quran. He talked about Dhuhr namaz. So where did he make mention that Dhuhr is 4 rakah? He said Allah talked about zakah in his Quran. So where did he talk about how much zakah we have to give? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the pilgrimage and how we have to do tawaf around the house of Allah. So he says, where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that we have to do 7 tawaf? Likewise, he says about the Safa and Marwa, and then he says that the Quran is a book of commandments, and the Hadith, the Sunnah, it explains and tells us how to fulfill these commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, the Messenger of Allah said, "Man ata'ani faqad ata Allah, man ata'ani faqad ata Allah. Whosoever obeyed me, he has obeyed Allah. Whosoever disobeyed me, he has disobeyed Allah." Likewise, the companion, Ridwanullah ta'ala, Malim Ajmain, had a very, very elevated rank. We also have to follow them. Why? Because they were following the Messenger. The Messenger is following Allah. And in the Hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Whosoever displeases the companion, he has displeased me. Whoever displeases me, he has displeased Allah. But whoever disbelieves Allah, then everyone knows what his end result will be." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors. So that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-Khulafa'ir-Rashidin, abdu alayha bin nawajid." Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Follow the rightly guided successors after me." The rightly guided successors after me, hold on to them with the back teeth. The scholars write why the back teeth, not the front teeth. Well, it's more of a grip you're holding in certainty and assurance. So the Messenger of Allah said, the rightly guided successors. Who are these rightly guided successors? Well, the narration of Muhammad Abdul Fuad al-Baqi makes mention. He says, it is the 5 khulafa that came after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhum. And also those scholars that follow these individuals, like they will also come under the category of rightly guided successors. Allama Suyuti, commentating in this hadith, in his commentary of Ibn Majah, he says that the rightly guided successors are the companions, obviously, and he says also the 4 scholars al-Ummah al-Arba, Imam Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi, and Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhim. So the Messenger of Allah is telling us to follow this. Allama Suyuti has explained it in his commentary. So it is very important that we follow one of these schools of research, and we should stick to them. The Messenger of Allah said, and one more point I'd like to just raise is the Messenger of Allah said that I just want to raise that these 4 schools of thought, they are all right. To say that 1 is right and 3 are wrong, this is also wrong. To say all 4 are wrong, this is also wrong. All 4 schools